Hi, I'm April Pendergraft, Director of Development and Membership for Maximum Fun. As you may know, we're working with National CASA GAL to provide ongoing support for their organization. Court-appointed special advocate, CASA, and guardian ad litem, GAL, volunteers make a life-changing difference for children navigating the court and foster care systems. We'd like to highlight some folks from our own community who already work with this amazing nonprofit. Our Director of Business Operations, Stacey Molsky, and I are talking with a Max Funster, who's also a court-appointed special advocate working with National CASA GAL. His name is Craig Groff Folsom. Craig, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Craig.
Hello.
I wanted to open sort of by just asking an open-ended question, which is if you would talk a little bit about how you discovered CASA GAL and what led you to want to connect with them as a volunteer.
So I actually came to the organization through my mom. My mom spent her career in childcare, and through part of that, she managed to find the local CASA branch. I don't know the exact details, right? She just kind of came to me and said, oh, I'm doing this new thing now. I'm on this committee. So she was part of a volunteer committee, and basically she was volunteering with CASA of Kent County, and their focus was making sure like there were events for the CASAs themselves to take their children to. Every summer there would be a picnic, and then every Christmas there would be a Christmas party. So she was really into that aspect of it. And then she eventually recruited my wife to get on the same committee. And then my wife started kind of pulling me in because obviously
as happens.
As happens. My mom, you know, obviously believed in this and would explain, you know, the good of it. But then my wife would start going, you know, this is something you could do. My wife and I decided not to have children ourselves, but we were always kind of the cool aunt and uncle. And my wife recognized, and my mom a little bit too, but my wife recognized, and she's like, you have a talent with children. And it started with them asking me to participate at like a Christmas party. So I did go to a Christmas party, and that's not really, obviously you're not really doing any advocating, or, you know, it's very light and everything's kind of under some confidentiality, of course. So, you know, it's just like, here's a kid and there's their first name and there's some parents, there's some adults that are with them, and you don't know whether it's a foster family or biological parents or whatever. You know, you're just trying to make these kids day, give them some like activities to do. So I kind of got to witness all of this and see what was going on. And it started to kind of click in my head that, okay, this is kind of what it's like. And I volunteered at those Christmas parties for a very long time. And actually, after I became a CASA, I ended up going to those Christmas parties without the kids that I had because of various circumstances. So I'd still kind of help out. I was like, well, I know how this runs. Like, I can at least help you since my kid can't make it. And then I got to about 2017, and my job had changed enough that I felt like I had the flexibility to start thinking about this more seriously. So I figured, give it a try, I'll go to training. And training was very difficult, as it is. And there was still kind of that concern about like scheduling and working full time and having a dog and being married and, you know, like all of these things. And it's, you always feel like, well, I don't have the free time, but you do. The free time is there if you make it. And I didn't understand that until I really got into this. So once I got through training and got sworn in, I immediately was just like, okay, it's time to start this and really try to do this. And also at the same time, while I was in training, we actually moved. So I thought,
oh my gosh,
I thought to myself, if I can make it through training and moving, selling a house, buying a house, all at the same time, like that's the answer. I can absolutely fit this in my schedule and do it. And I haven't looked back. So.
Well, Craig, that actually, I'm going to go a little out of order here because that leads us to another question that I have. I think that it's a something that is maybe a roadblock for a lot of folks when they're thinking about maybe volunteering for something like this. How much of your time is typically spent working on a case, would you say?
So it definitely depends. It depends on the case. There are some weeks where it's maybe an hour or less, and there are some times when it takes, you know, a couple hours in a week. But generally speaking, and again, depending on the case, depending on how many children you get and how many different circumstances you have to watch. You know, it seems like it's something that I would say an hour or two per week is pretty easy to, I mean, that's definitely more than enough to get the job done. I think the thing that's tricky about it that I think that people don't realize is all of the cases that I've been on, a lot of the communication is done by email. Mm. So, you know, it's really a situation where I have my email open. Of course, I get an email from somebody and, you know, or I go, oh, I got to take 5 minutes to write an email and send it to somebody real quick and check in on something or see what's going on. And that's pretty much it, you know, just kind of making the time occasionally to call and check in, or the longest like chunks of time that I really have to devote to cases tends to be actually going to spend time in person with the child. Mm. And that can be, again, very different depending on the case. I seem to continue to get cases where they don't have a lot of good places for the teenage boys in the system in my county. So I've had a case that that was an hour drive away.
Oh, so, wow.
And my current case, so is 2 hours door to door. And again, circumstances differ, but my supervisor says, because it's such a long drive and such a long time commitment, it's okay to only visit once a month. So I just set up a Saturday and I drive, you know, 2 hours down, spend time with him and drive 2 hours back. So,
okay. So right. It sounds like it is something you can fit in amongst a full-time job. Like you can find the time slots here and there, or you can do the visit on a weekend, which I wasn't sure about. So I'm glad to hear that. I think that opens it up to a lot of folks.
And I think that's definitely a misconception about it, is mm-hmm. a lot of the people who do volunteer are retired, or, mm-hmm. you know, they just don't have like a full-time job. Maybe they have a part-time job or whatever. And those folks, I'm sure, do excellent jobs at being, you know, CASAs as well. But there is something that it's still just feasible to find that time in a work day, you know. And my boss is very understanding that if I take 5 minutes to type an email and check in on somebody, or send an email to the school that my kid attends and say, hey, I need an update on grades, please. Like that's just drop that in throughout the week. And it's pretty easy to do.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah,
that's really helpful to know.
So you already had mentioned that you've done a couple of different cases. I think when you spoke to us originally, you mentioned that you're about to start your fourth case. Is that correct?
I'm about to end my fourth case.
Oh, end your fourth case. Okay.
it's up in the air, but it's probably nearing the end of my fourth case. Yes.
Okay. I was wondering, I know it's sensitive to sort of talk about, but are there any moments that stand out to you? Anything that you can talk about that doesn't really, you know, get into too much individual detail?
My first case was a young man who was very angry all the time, mm-hmm. and very much always worried about somebody disrespecting him or somebody, you know, doing something to just a lot of that anger and frustration and worry about what people think or what people are saying to other people about him, things like that. Mm-hmm. And we were actually at a visit and he made an aggressive act. And the caseworker and I were both there. We were actually visiting. We had visited him a little bit. And then we had talked to the placement manager, the person who kind of supervised the placement that he was at, to see what was going on and try to understand this and maybe talk through solutions. We managed to de-escalate him. And then we were walking around because it was outside and it was the winter. And he was just like, I can't believe he said this. And he's telling people this and that. And I said, man, none of that matters. People say things about me all the time. I can't convince them to change, but it's just not going to change their opinions, you know? And I think I saw a change in that moment where like I'm standing outside and I'm just like, look, man, this doesn't change. This doesn't go away. It doesn't matter what this person said to this other person about you. You are you. And you can be your own person in the world. And I know you're stuck in this place right now with these other people and you have to deal with that, but you can work on you you know, and be yourself and develop an identity outside of this. And I think he really took that to heart because I saw a change in him from that night forward.
That's amazing. Well, I can definitely see why your wife is like, you're a cool uncle and you know how to talk to young people, because that's an intense scenario. But it sounds like, you know, you got to see the ability to just like see something sink in, I think, in real time seems incredibly rewarding. Like, to go from such an intense experience to like see that person change and learn from just a couple of words you said and like being there in a hard moment is amazing. I'm like, very impressed.
You're not just like a person, like anybody could be there in that moment. You're actually having a connection with this person and having an impact on their life at a time when they really need it. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that really helps that too is I've had caseworkers say this to the kids, or, you know, the kids kind of ask questions about it. And I think that it becomes obvious to them, you know, a child in a case like this has a caseworker, and the caseworker is required to check on them. Mm-hmm. And the caseworker is paid to check on them. It's a job, right? And the placement that they're in, that's their job and they're paid to be there. And then this person shows up. And they're not paid. They don't have to be there. They're there. And even in my current case, like occasionally my kid is like, you get reimbursed. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm here because I'm trying, man. Like, this isn't my job. This is something that I could be at home right now. I could be not taking you out to a meal, taking you out to lunch. I could be just at home, you know, but I'm here trying to help you. And I think that when you get that understanding of that goodwill, that's really a cool piece to kind of like to see someone see that there's someone who's legitimately invested in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is such a good point. It's a time in their life where they're like, there's this person who doesn't have to be here and they're trying to help me. Like, I think that would just, if you're in a tough spot, that gives you a lot of, I think, hope for the other people around you. It's just to have somebody in your corner is nice. Is there any piece of advice you would give to somebody who is considering becoming a Casa Gal volunteer? Specifically, maybe somebody in like our audience, probably some people in similar situations to you.
Well, I think I touched on one part of it earlier, which is it is less time than you think it is. And you will fit it in where you need to fit it in. It's intimidating, but there's so many people in the systems that appreciate your role. The feeling of pride I get when we have a quarterly court hearing and the judge looks at me and says, thank you for writing this report of what happened, you know, and thank you for spending time with this kid. Like, it's just, I'd spend 100 more hours doing it, you know, like it's just such a reward to know, you know, that there are so many people in the system who appreciate the outside perspective and the authentic perspective, even if it's not volunteering as a CASA. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of other, like I said, you know, my wife and my mom have done committee things or volunteering at events, you know, just simply having someone to just be there and, you know, help the kids out and help them pick up food for a tray, you know, it's like, just sit at a picnic table and eat, you know, something like that means so much in this system to create this and support all of those folks who are trying to do all of this for these kids. So even if it's not something where you're directly becoming a CASA, like there's so many other ways you can support, spend your time and help the organization do something good for these kids who are stuck in this situation.
Yeah, that is really cool because I didn't even realize they did events like that. And it does sound like a really nice way to sort of dip your toe into something if you're not sure about what sort of time commitment you can make. I'm so glad you talked about it because that does sound like a cool opportunity to start off on.
I don't think even I realized that you could just go through the process of learning about becoming an advocate without committing necessarily to do it. So you could at least see what it's like and how much of your time it's going to take and make your decision as you go. I think that's really awesome. Max Fun is really, we've been really excited to do this partnership. One of the main reasons we're so excited is because we have a lot of faith in our audience. Like, they're really unique people. Max Funsters are very unique. They tend to be very kind and altruistic, and they care about doing good in the world. And so it's just such a natural tie-in for folks from Max Fund to consider doing this. And on that note, I was curious if you would share which Max Fund shows are your favorite.
Oh boy, that's such a tough question. I move through them. I started with Stop Podcasting Yourself. And Graham and Dave just, they crack me up all the time. Even, you know, it's I remember just back like even like 10 years ago, I was mowing the lawn listening to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of moved through Bullseye and Judge John Hodgman. I spent a little time listening to Tights and Fights because I'm a pro wrestling fan. And really right now, the one that is currently the closest to my heart is Greatest Generation. I grew up watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So when they started talking about that, I really got into it and like caught up with them. I think they were in season 3 at the time. So I just binged like a year's worth of episodes. Adam and Ben are just hilarious, and they deliver really good insight into, you know, what's going on with the storytelling and like the background of all of it, and really gives me kind of a deeper appreciation for what that show is for its place in the fan base.
There's got to be some Venn diagram that shows Max Funsters and really ethical people and Star Trek fans. I always tell people that show gave me my whole sense of ethics growing up. But yeah, well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you.
If you'd like to share your story about being a CASA volunteer, email me, April, at april@maximumfun.org. To find out more about National CASA GAL and ways that you can help, visit nationalcasagal.org. That's nationalcasagal.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.